Well, as I said, we've been talking this year about being called to freedom and learning to live like freed people. Did I turn this off? Okay, there it goes. We're learning to live like freed people and to be all of the things that God wants us to be, that God enables us to be. And it's a tremendous blessing to us. You know, we started talking about Jesus and what he did on the cross. And we know that without him, we would not be washed from our past sins. Everything that we did before our baptism is taken away. And we become entirely new creatures in Christ. As bad as we were, we could have been even worse. You know, the Jews even killed Jesus, and he was willing to go to the cross for them. Paul killed the followers of Jesus, and Jesus was still willing to go to the cross for him, and it removes a stain of sin. We no longer have to deal with the consciousness of sin. And Peter tells us that in 1 Peter, the third chapter, at verse 21. But Jesus continues to work for us. His continuing work is relative to our temptations that we face on a daily basis. Keeping his word, he perfects the love of God in us. And because that's true, we can overcome the evil one. Jesus does a lot more for us than just the things that he did to overcome our past. We've been talking about temptation and began by trying to understand the essence of temptation. Last week, we talked about the process of temptation, as James describes it in the first chapter. And the critical part of that process of temptation is when lust is conceived. And remember, we talked about the meaning of that word conceived. It means to take captive. It's not the conceived that we think of. It's a totally different word. It's the same word that the New Testament writers used to describe what happened when the Romans came out with the Jews to take Jesus, arrest him, so that they could carry him away and he eventually would be put to death. This, what sin does to us, what lust does to us, is far more serious than the way that we think about lust most of the time. So today we're going to talk about overcoming temptation. And we'll begin by looking at a couple of passages. We're going to go back to James, the first chapter, at verse 12, because I want to reinforce the idea that lust takes us captive. James 1, beginning at verse 12. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. No one is to say when he is tempted, I'm being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he's carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then when lust has conceived, when lust has grabbed us, it produces sin. It gives birth to sin. And sin, when it has run its course, brings forth death. So we understand the process of temptation, but I want you to look in Ephesians how the Apostle Paul talks about overcoming temptation, beating Satan, being called to freedom. Ephesians 4, we're going to begin. I put verse 8 up on the slide. I really want to begin at about verse 7. The apostle begins by saying, to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, because of that, it says, when he ascended on high, he took captive the captives, and he gave gifts to people. Now, this expression, he ascended, what does it mean except that he also had descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is himself also he who ascended far above the heavens that he might fill all things. So Jesus, dying on the cross, went to Sheol, defeated Satan, and ascended back to the right hand of God. And when he did that, Paul says he took captives, the captives. Well, who were the captives? Think back to how we got involved in sin. We're conceived by lust. And Jesus breaks that. He releases us so that we can be his captives. I said that we'd begin by looking at a statement that was made by Viktor Frankl. Wise man, he said, between stimulus and response, there is a space. In that space is our power to choose our response. In our response lies our growth and our freedom. Now, we've seen how James talks about this a little bit. It's important for us to realize that in Jesus, redeemed people, freed people, are not grasped by lust anymore. Released people, redeemed people, are given what Paul called grace. And that grace is the release from Satan's grip. Satan convinces us that we cannot stand apart from those who continue in lust. We once were in his grip, and Satan's major effort is to convince us that no matter what Jesus has done, we are still in his grip. That Jesus has taken care of the things that were in the past, but we remain his. Jesus does not allow that. Think about what it's like when somebody says, you know, you shouldn't be driving 90 miles an hour down the freeway anymore. I have to tell you, I was that kind of guy. I drove like my hair was on fire all the time. Kim will tell you that I frequently exceeded the speed limit and sometimes exceeded the point where the California Highway Patrol would confiscate my vehicle if I was pulled over because I was going so fast. When you get ready to start driving that fast, who do you want in the car with you? Your mother? Your sister? Well, in my case, probably my sister because she still drives that way. Who do you want in the car with you? Who do you go looking for when you decide I'm doing 90 down the freeway. I go look for somebody that's done that with me before, because I know he's going to sit over there in the passenger seat and he's going to keep his mouth shut, because I know what kind of person he is. Satan wants to convince you that you have to go along. You have to go with the flow of traffic. You can't drive the speed limit. Because if you drive the speed limit, people run over you. That's not true. We're released from that. As long as we're convinced that we have to do what we used to do, we're controlled by lust. Satan still got us in his grip. There are a lot of people that try to overcome Satan by remaining in his grip, but stealing themselves and deciding, I will not give in. That's the basic problem with anything that begins this way. Hi, I'm Dean. I'm an alcoholic. I'm not. Hi, I'm Dean. I drive 90 miles an hour. I don't. Hi, I'm Dean. I tell lies all the time. I don't. The only way to be successful overcoming Satan is to stand with Jesus and say, hi, I'm Dean. And you know what? I've never told a lie in my life. Now, the old Dean, yeah, he did that. But he's dead. He's gone. I don't do that. You don't want me in the passenger seat if you're going to drive 90 miles an hour. We can't begin by saying, hi, my name is Dean, and I'm what I used to be. You'll never overcome. If you do that, you're doomed to failure. And yeah, that statement, hi, I'm Dean and I'm an alcoholic, that's a statement that most of us are familiar with. If you've ever read anything about Alcoholics Anonymous and you go to a meeting, that's the way everybody introduces themselves. Hi, my name is Dean and I'm an alcoholic. It's not going to work. As long as you think of yourself that way, Satan still has you in his grip. You're just able to resist for a little while. That's not what Jesus calls us to. Look at some statements by different New Testament writers. We've looked at James. Let's look at another statement by Paul. 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, beginning at verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to man, or except something that's common to man, from the New American Standard. God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted above what you are able, but will, with the temptation, provide a way of escape also, so that you'll be able to endure it. A way of escape. That's freedom. That's God taking captive what was Satan's captive. It's a way of escape. Freed people can rely on God's provision. We don't have to rely on our own strength. It's foolishness to think that we are stronger than Satan is if Satan still has his grips in us. We'll be defeated. Free people are not made immune to lust, but they're not in its grip. It's not conceived. So take hold of God's escape. Rely on the fact that you are not what you once were. Well, Peter says it too. Second Peter, the first chapter, beginning at verse 3. His divine power, and he's talking about God there, his divine power has given us everything required for life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. By these, he has given us very great and precious promises so that through them, you may share in the divine nature, escaping the corruption that's in the world because of evil desires. Now, that's the Holman Christian Standard Bible. It's a version that we have used on a number of different occasions. Again, two things stand out. Number one, God supplies what's required. It's not up to me. God supplies what's required. He has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And the key is the knowledge of Jesus and the promises that he gives. These promises that Jesus gives allow us to share in the divine nature. You cannot share in the divine nature while you're still in the grip of Satan. But we can share in the divine nature. And these promises allow us to escape lust-induced corruption. We don't have to live that way anymore. John is a passage that for many people gives them great pause. 1 John, the 5th chapter, we're going to look at just a couple of statements that John makes in this chapter. We're going to look at verse 4, and then we'll drop down, and we'll look at verses 18 and 19. Most people, I'm convinced, perceive that they overcome temptation based on their own will. And then what they can't overcome, God will forgive that. But they think that they can overcome temptation based on their own will. John puts that to rest, completely puts that to rest. 1 John 5, beginning at verse 4. Whosoever therefore has been born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. We know, he says in verse 18 beginning, that no one who has been born of God sins. And in the American Standard Translation, continually is a footnote. They say it should read, whoever has been born of God does not sin continually. But he who has been born of God, keeps him, and the evil one does not touch him. We know that we're of God, and that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. See it? There it is again. The whole world lies in the power of the evil one. He has them in his grip. But we are not in his grip. We're different. Our faith is the key. Faith informs and it prompts the way that we live. We live the way that we live because of what Jesus did. attempting to resist Satan without faith is doomed to failure. You tried to do it on your own, and Satan got you in his grip. The whole world lies in wickedness. Everybody failed. The only way to overcome is to be with God. You know, the hardest temptation to overcome is the one to which you have succumbed in the past. The hardest thing for me to deal with is what I'd already done. Why is that? It's because Satan convinces me that that's the kind of person that I am. You're a liar, Dean. So don't expect that you're not going to lie in the future. You're a filthy person. So you're going to stay a filthy person. Now let's look a little bit more closely at 1 John 5 at verse 18. He says, we sin not. Well, I said that in the American Standard, they supply the word continually. The word continually is not there. The word continually comes from the tense of that verb. It, when he says we sin not, it's, this is going to just shock you. It's a lineal present active indicative. Does that help anybody? It's a lot more helpful to say that we don't continue to sin, because that's really what he's talking about. The one who is begotten of God keeps us. That's Jesus. It's a difficult phrase, but probably the idea is that as God keeps Jesus, Jesus keeps us. The evil one. The evil one, we know who the evil one is, right? That's Satan. Satan and his minions. And he does not touch us. That word touch is a really interesting word. Again, here we go. It's the present middle indicative. That doesn't help much. It means he can't get his grip into us anymore. He cannot lay hold of us. He cannot grasp us more than just a superficial touch. He cannot have us in his grasp. He cannot, well, Strong says it means to touch for the purpose of harming. And he says that what it means is that Satan cannot snatch us from Christ's grip. That's a tremendous encouragement to me, to know that Satan cannot any longer grab hold of me and hold me to harm me. I'll still think about lust, but Satan cannot grab me. So let's all leave here today and decide that we're going to be the kind of people that God freed us to be. We are not going to be people who masquerade as good people. We're going to be good people. The Apostle Paul says we overcome evil with good. Jesus said it well. He said, no man can serve two masters. Either he'll hate the one and love the other, or he'll love the one and hate the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And we frequently quote that passage to say that you cannot have divided loyalty. And that's true. That's what the apostle, or that's what Jesus is saying, at least in part. But you know what's also true in that passage? You cannot serve God and mammon. If you serve God, you will not serve Satan. That's the encouraging side of that passage. All I need to do to overcome evil is to serve God, to look for good, to spend all of my time and all of my energy engaged in good. And if we can do that, then we will defeat Satan. Nothing he can bring against us is going to be effective. He will never again have us in his grip. Jesus released us. We can serve God. Free people get to overcome Satan. People that are in the world can't do that. What fruit had you then in those things whereof you're now ashamed? People in the world don't really want to do sin. It doesn't produce anything good in their life. They'd like to be free, but they can't because they don't know Jesus. You know Jesus? Put him on in baptism. That's what it takes. He'll release you not only from your past sins, but he'll release you to overcome Satan and all of the fiery darts that he brings against you. We'll help you do that.